This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 246 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And joining me for the last time in 2013 via Skype from Melbourne, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
You know, I'm cranky.
Why are you cranky?
Just for something different.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. You know, like when you hear a saying or a phrase or a word or something they haven't heard for a while, and all of a sudden you start hearing it everywhere.
Right.
Or you see something you hadn't seen for ages, and all of a sudden everywhere you look, there it is. You know that experience.
Yeah.
It's actually got a name. I don't know what it is, but this week I've had an experience with the word snaps.
Right.
Snaps. Show us your snaps. Oh, you take some nice snaps, don't you? Just this continual reference to photograph taking as snaps.
Right.
It's just doing my editing. Yeah, it's like, yeah. And I've even heard photography. There's a photography guy out said, happy snappy. So yeah, really? Right. You want to be snappy? I mean, yeah, where's the art in happy snappy?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the art in the Flickr group? Show us show us your snaps.
Yeah.
And then going around inviting, you know, interesting, you know, people who've obviously taken some time and effort thinking about their photographs.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, the use of snaps in that context suggests that you were just firing off the hip without any thought or care or consideration.
Exactly, exactly. It's the whole concept of snaps is no thought. You just snap it and, oh, it worked. It's the spray and pray. Yeah, it's limited down into one word, snap.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should mention that, because one of the things that I had on my list of things to cover in this episode was a post I saw on Digital Photography School through the week, and it was 5 photography bad habits to quit. And the first one was hesitation.
Smoking your camera, that's one good one.
Yes. Hesitation.
What?
Yeah, so don't take too long, don't overthink things. Number 2 was having your ISO set too low. Number 3 was pixel peeping. Number 4 was luck shooting, and that's the one I'll come back to. And number 5 was editing everything. But it's interesting that, yeah, you mentioned this idea of snaps, you know, because that fourth point, the luck shooting, was exactly the same thing. They were saying, you know, don't shoot, you know, machine gun style, you know, be a little, you know, thoughtful about every shot that you take. So it's interesting that there was a correlation.
It's okay to shoot bursts of shots.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But it's always going to be done with intent.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a sequence of events about to unfurl that I don't know where the prime piece of connection of interaction in that frame is going to be. So I want to capture it across a range of half a dozen shots to make sure I capture the moment. Nothing wrong with that at all.
For sure.
It's just walking around going bang, 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 bang at everything and hoping one of the photos by chance happens to have good light, by chance happens to be well composed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's the, it's the wedding spray and pray attitude, you know. Because if you're shooting 6,000 photos an hour, I mean, there's a fair chance you'll get 12 or 13 good ones an hour.
Yeah.
Not at every wedding, obviously.
Law of averages, yeah.
Yeah, not at every wedding, but at least some.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think the hesitation thing he's saying, so number 2, it's find that balance between the two. Between hesitating and hesitating.
Yeah, exactly.
Find that, yeah, when do you hesitate? When do you not hesitate? When do you, yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of the joy of photography, though, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
That's part of that. It's like fishing. Yeah, you're never sure when a bite's going to happen. It's the anticipatory part of the sport.
Yeah.
That adds such a great element to it. And when you happen to get it,
yeah,
it's that great. It's like catching the big fish. You know, it's a pretty ecstatic moment. Yeah, you know?
Definitely.
And you always rue the ones that get away.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how great your photos are. The ones you always think about was the ones that got away.
Yeah.
I was saying this exact thing on Tuesday night. I was running a photo shoot on Tuesday night, and we were talking about my India trip, and I'm saying, oh, yeah, there was these two photos. And they've been saying, oh, we loved your photos from India. Yeah, but there's these two that got away, you know. And I know they'll haunt me for life, these two photos that got away, you know. But that's it. Yeah, that's the joy of photography right there in a nutshell, isn't it?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And to me, that can be one of the frustrating things about going out and shooting with other photographers, because you always look at their camera to see the images that they got, and then you know, that's the times that I do sort of rue the ones that I've missed, because I saw that somebody else got it.
No, just steal their memory card, dude. It's easy.
What's that?
Just steal their memory card. It's simple. I'll cut the camera while you go to the toilet, dude. Oh, yeah. Where's the memory card gone? I'll just place it with a blank one. Oh, damn, I think I hit delete.
But I will I'll post the link to the Digital Photography School article in the show notes for anyone that wants to go and check those out, because I thought it was a good little list of five things that we should stop doing. And I know I'm guilty of certainly, you know, erring on the side of caution with ISO when I really do need to be a little more adventurous in moments when there's low light. You know, I think we've discussed before that
it's a hang up.
At the end of the day, yeah, it'd be better to have a sharp shot that's got a little bit too much noise than to end up with, you know, a shot that's soft and got motion blur but you know, not as much noise. It's like, well, you know, when you think about it like that, I'd settle for a little more noise to know that the frame was going to be sharp.
In my understanding your camera workshop, yeah, we talk a bit about ISO obviously, my philosophy for it always is, you know, people will say, well, what is the right ISO to use? And the answer, of course, always is the right one.
The right one.
Yeah. But as low as you can possibly get away with, but as high as necessary.
Yeah.
And that's the balance. It's you always want to be as low as you can. Yep. And that's getting less and less so, you know, with modern cameras.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I look at one of the shots from India at 12,800 ISO. It's quite astounding. Get that sort of detail out of, you know, 13,000 ISO photo.
Yeah.
But, you know, would it have been better at 6,400? Absolutely. What about, you know, 3,200? But it's just not possible to have taken that shot. So as low as you possibly can, but as high as necessary.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the philosophy I always work on, and, you know, and it doesn't hurt to err on the upper end to get a decent shutter speed, you know?
Yeah. And the pixel peeping, I know I'm a shocker with. Always checking out the shot that I've just taken, and I really need to learn to just be content, you know, that if you've got your settings right.
Chimping is a bad thing.
Oh, it's a shocking thing.
It takes you out of the moment. It
yeah.
takes you out of that that little zone of
definitely.
And it takes your time to get back into it.
Yep.
It takes you, and you know, just that little moment just to sort of re-engage with the scene.
Yep.
And that's bad.
Mm.
Yeah, and trust.
The fifth point was editing everything, and what the author of that post was saying was, you know, we have this tendency to shoot, you know, gazillions of images and then spend all this time editing all of them. And he said, you know, really what you want to do is, you know, in whatever your software of choice is, for him it was Lightroom, you know, go through everything and cull, you know, everything that's not brilliant.
Yeah.
And then when you've done that, go through it and cull it again.
Yeah.
And when you've done it a second time, do it a third time, and what you will be left with will be the killer images, and then only spend your time...
Image.
Yeah, or even maybe just one image. And then just work on, you know, editing that, you know, single or handful of images that you've got left.
Yeah.
And you'll soon realize that your attachment to all of those that got culled in those three rounds of culling weren't that great after all, you know?
You can't polish a turd, as they say.
That is exactly right. We talk about that in the radio production studio just about every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's it to a T, isn't it? Yep. There's no unsuck filter.
No.
the guy from the Digital Photography School, I'll give him a number one thing he should stop doing, though.
What's that?
Stop making lists. That guy does nothing but make lists. Yeah. Stop making lists. Go and take some photos. He's always making lists, that guy. Every couple of days, another list.
Yep.
Yeah. My
always.
Top five lists. I want to see his top five lists of 2013. Yeah.
That's a quick way to create another post.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. My top three lists, my top 10, you know. God, the top five things I've mentioned most often in lists this year. That's a good one, you know.
Now, the other thing that I had on my list to include this week was a video that was, I think it was posted on Vimeo, but I found it through the DIYphotography.net page, and it was a GoPro footage of a base jumper who has, you know, done this base jump, you know, with a parachute, and I don't know what went wrong, but he's ended up doing a 180 and face planting into the wall while still falling, and the GoPro camera has, you know, naturally been rolling the whole time and captured the entire thing from the moment he's leapt off the top till he hits the ground right at the bottom, and apparently he suffered some not inconsequential, but not life-threatening injuries. You know, a couple of broken bones and, you know, about 15 stitches. And, yeah, he's a shattered ego, I would imagine. But it's a, yeah, a compelling, if not comforting thing to watch. So
it certainly puts you off base jumping.
Yeah, definitely.
If you can send me the link, I'll put it out for my kids whenever they start thinking about going stupid in life that I think they shouldn't be doing.
Definitely. Yeah.
Look, this could happen to you. Yeah. If you're going to do it, at least wear a video camera so we can put it on YouTube.
So we can all see it and have a laugh at your expense. Yeah.
Funniest home videos, here we come.
What I thought was interesting, though, was that the guy who put it up chose as the music to go behind it the song Sail by AWOL Nation, which most people probably don't know, but the first place that I ever heard that song was on a Jeb Corliss video, and Jeb Corliss is the guy who does those wingsuit jumps. But this guy wasn't Jeb Corliss, this was somebody else. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, he chose to use the same song.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, maybe say, yeah, interesting. Hmm. But I would have gone more for plummet than sail, though, personally. Yeah. Yes. Something more appropriate lyrically, I am falling.
Yeah, free falling. Yeah. Tom Petty.
Free falling, there you go. There you go, that's exactly what it should have been, you know.
And, or real life, catch me, I'm falling.
Catch me. Well, here's the thing. If anyone can think of some other songs for the week they can send in to us, that would be more appropriate. It's like the name a caption to a photo. That's sort of a theme song for this man plummeting off a cliff. Yeah. funny stuff.
Dear.
So I had a really weird week this week. Because we're recording Thursday night tonight rather than a normal Tuesday night. Because I actually had to work this week.
My gosh.
Yeah, I know.
That must have been horrendous for you.
It threw me out. It seriously threw me out because I woke up Tuesday morning and my brain was just doing flips. It's like, is it Saturday? What day? I don't know. I'm working. What's happening in my head?
Yeah, right.
But it's typical Melbourne summer weather. We had hail, rain, blazing sun, massive windstorm, all in the 2 hours leading up to the event starting.
Wow.
Not even the day, the 2 hours leading up. Jeez. So, and it's it was an outdoor walk around the dock area of Melbourne.
Yep.
And it's like, what do you do? Do you cancel it? Do you not cancel it? It was like that all the way along. But the night before, it had been pouring up to an hour before sunset. There were beautiful, amazing skies. Yeah. So we kept it on. In the end, we got this dull, flat, ugly lights that was just good for nothing. I thought we'd start off with some nice, you know, late afternoon sun, natural light stuff, and we had just blur light. So I went to all the effort of setting up this off-camera flash through these trees and stuff, got it all set up, and your orange gels to warm up the light to give it the sunset that late after, all the effort.
And then the clouds parted.
Exactly. Blazing sunlight. Shit, just the whole thing. I was like, you. So we packed that up. And, of course, by the time we moved to the next location where I wanted the sun, of course, it had gone back in again. Not to be seen again for the rest of the night.
That is so Melbourne.
Oh, man. It's a challenge doing outdoor events.
Do you remember the day of Shelton and Tasha's wedding?
Vaguely.
Yeah. It was like that. It was pouring down rain in the morning. And I remember getting to the Docklands area there where they had the wedding.
Yeah.
And saying to someone, yeah, this is Melbourne. Give it half an hour and it'll be clear. Yeah, sure it was. It was, yeah.
I'm remembering last week, let alone that was. Yeah, but that was just, and I was Facebooking, you know, I happened to mention on Facebook, and a friend of mine who's a videographer had to cancel two shoots in a row, two night shoots and evening shoots in a row, Sunday night and Monday night for all because of weather, and he was praying for Tuesday night would be good so he could get out and film.
Right.
So, of course, the bane of his existence, of course, is wind.
Yeah, right.
It's you know, audio and just howling winds.
Yeah.
So, once again, the joys of shooting outside. Shane, I feel your pain. That rhymes.
Yeah.
Now, so whilst I was out at the shoot, though, it brings me to one of the little things I was looking at this week.
Yeah.
Frosty, one of my regular workshop guys, and if he's listening, lovely guy. If he's not listening, bit of a prat.
Right.
Now, people saying he's really into the Indiegogo Kickstarter stuff. He loves looking up stuff on there, and he's found this this product called a Panomo.
Okay.
It's basically a ball with 36 lenses, little miniature cameras inside it.
Right.
It's a shockproof ball, and basically you throw it up in the air, and somehow the gyro system inside it figures out when it's at its uttermost peak just before it starts to fall.
At its apex?
That's the one, yep. At the top there before it starts coming down, again, before gravity starts to kick in.
Yeah.
It fires off all these cameras. It gives you a full 360-degree pano shot.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you could see it as a wedding photographer's thing for group shots and stuff. You could do some amazingly good stuff. I think it's only going to be about $500 when it finally comes out next year.
Right. Wow.
I think it's not till September next year, but can you imagine that? Yeah, in parties and stuff, throwing this stuff above people's head, everyone going,
up into space.
You get the full environment.
Is it shipping with some software that will then stitch those images together for you?
Well, what I was sort of hoping personally is that on its way down, it would actually be able to do that, and then Wi-Fi or Bluetooth to your phone. So by the time you landed and grabbed it, it's already on your phone to show people.
Yeah.
If it's not doing that, I'm not that interested. But I could only imagine it would. I couldn't imagine how they'd be shipping out something like this without the software to handle it.
Yeah.
But
that's a very funky idea.
Yeah, once again, we talked about the other week about how has digital changed photography, and so at that stage it hasn't.
Yeah.
But look at all these things that are coming out.
Yeah.
You know, all these great new, weird and wonderful, and to me, photography is anything that takes photos. It doesn't. I love using my iPhone. I mean, I'm not a snob about the gear. Yes, I love using good gear. Yes, I love getting great, lovely, crystal sharp, etc. photos, blah blah blah. But I'm still more than happy to take a photo with a lesser tool.
Yeah, right.
So to me, whilst this thing I'm sure is not going to put out, you know, crystal clear, super perfectly exposed images, it's going to give us an image that we couldn't get any other way, and that's pretty cool.
Definitely. Yeah.
So and by chance, I went off to Indiegogo and Kickstarter today and have a bit of a look around, and I found a not dissimilar one to this called Bubble, B-U-B-L.
Okay.
Which is along the similar sort of idea, but I think the Panomo one looks nicer, so yeah, because that's really important.
Yep.
The looks. I think the photos, what I saw out of the sample one, look better quality too. But yeah, so that's a pretty cool little tool.
Excellent.
Yeah. It got me excited about aerial stuff, and I think my daughter's school holidays start next week, and I think we might have a balloon photo project we might put on.
Oh, okay.
Me and her. Could take her out and do some balloon photography.
As in taking photos from the balloon?
Yes, yeah. Actually, yeah, tethering a camera to a balloon and popping it up into the air.
Right. Yeah. And how are you going to control the flight of the balloon?
A piece of string.
Okay. Fair enough. Cool.
Not a very heavy camera, obviously.
No.
Yeah. But something I can trigger with like a pocket wizard or something. You know, strap a pocket wizard to it, get it up there. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 200 or 300 feet up, and yeah, she can fire away and see what we get out of it.
Okay.
So that might be a bit of a school holiday project.
Cool.
So once again, if anyone's done anything like that and has got some tips for the lazy photographer, the lazy man who doesn't want to put any real effort into it, and as soon as it starts looking too hard, may give up. And the man who's the least handyman person you'll ever meet, feel free to send them through.
But the man who has five adjustable spanners, let's not be...
Hey, yeah. And you know what? I needed them the other day, and guess what I couldn't find? Not one of them.
Oh, you're kidding.
Not one of five. Isn't it bloody typical? It's just so typical. Couldn't believe it.
That's hilarious.
I know. So there's me trying to, whatever I was trying to, I had to go and buy another tool.
Right.
And take training wheels off my daughter's bike.
And you couldn't find one of your five adjustable spanners.
One of five. Isn't it disgraceful?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
So I think they might have snuck out of the house going, we're never going to be used here. Let's go somewhere else where we might get used. Could come up with a whole new TV show, Tool Story or something. Yeah.
Your wife got rid of them in a garage sale.
Yeah.
Never going to use these again.
What the? A friend of mine who used to live in New Zealand, an English guy who used to live in New Zealand who now lives back in England, a guy called James Madeline, the inventor of the Orbis ring flash.
Oh, okay.
If you've ever seen it, which is a great tool. And also, I think they're called Flight.
I don't know Orbis. I know the idea of a ring flash. Is the Orbis ring flash somehow different to...
Well, it basically, it's just a plastic... deflector shaped like a ring flash, so you actually shove your own flash gun into it.
Yes, right. I know the one you're talking about. Yep.
And so he's the inventor of that.
Right.
He's also got these super cool coal shoe adapters for off camera flash stuff.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to. Where they're actually secure as opposed to things falling off all the time.
Right.
Which, if you're, I'm just trying to think what the name of those are because it's not something I meant to email them and say, send me some, but never got around to it. I'll get, there's a reason to my madness about what I'm talking about soon. Frio, F-R-I-O, that's his.
Okay.
Is hot. So he's good at coming out with some stuff that's kind of, you know, useful. Right?
Okay.
I got an email this week about his new product.
Oh, yeah.
That's also gone onto Kickstarter.
Right.
And it's called Flight.
Okay.
P-H-L-I-T-E.
So, okay. Oh,
okay. Something to do with the aerial. Something that could be kind of cool. Could be kind of fun. Could be kind of crap, as it turned out to be. So Flight is basically turn your old camera or your old tripod into a desk or table lamp.
Okay.
Or floor lamp. So basically, get your tripod, and he's got these lamps, which is normal, normal lampshade and lamp fitting that goes onto a tripod. So you can put your old. So if you've got a really nice tripod and you really like to look at it, like one of those really nice, burlback, like wooden ones.
Yeah.
And rather than put it away, use it as a household feature when you're not shooting.
Right.
And you just screw a lamp on top of it.
Okay.
And then he's got the same thing, same type of thing with it, the shade and everything else that goes onto the hot shoe of like an old 35mm film camera.
Right.
So you can still have out your old gear. I know.
I know.
So I haven't checked his Kickstarter to see how rapidly it's filling up and and selling. I love him to pieces, but that seems quite mad. to be honest, it's just a little bit mad. There you go. Yeah, he's the guy who's been trying to work on finding a way to get your iPhone to fire your off-camera flashes whilst taking a photo with your iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Wow. That'd be awesome.
And as long as you control your exposure. There we are.
Yeah.
He's got 6,000. He's got 103 backers.
Right.
6,000 of his £25,000.
Say that again. How much?
He's got 6,000 of his £25,000 goal.
So he's a quarter of the way there.
Yeah, with 24 days to go.
How many days has it been running?
It doesn't actually say. Probably 150. No, it's been like a week or something, you know.
Oh, well, never know. You might make it.
It's as mad as a meat axe.
Yeah. Right. It's probably not the worst project on Kickstarter right now.
decorate and light your home with your old camera gear. There you go. I don't know. Yeah. Use the gear you already have to make statement pieces in your home. Yeah, it'd be a statement piece, all right? You're an idiot.
You're going to leave all this crap lying around collecting dust? Why not stick a light on top of it?
Kind of makes you think, well, what else could you do with it? Now, what other kind of things could you do around the house? Maybe turn two tripods and put a bit of wood across the two of them. There's your bar. Yeah. Well, I haven't thought of this, but there could be a whole range of things you should be able to do with your old photo gear to. I wonder if you could strip out the inside of an old speed light and turn it into a TV remote. there's got to be, yeah, all sorts of ways of using your old camera gear.
Oh, dear.
So, but not suggesting, though, because James may come out with them. but mind you, they're only like, 40 or 50 quid. It's not like we're asking for massive amounts of money, I guess, but they're kind of mad. But here's an idea, that what if you printed one of your photos on the lampshade? Because I've seen lampshades made with people's photos.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can have,
it's like having a backlit on your laptop screen. Yeah, so you could have one of your photos as your lampshade in the ultimate indulgence.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you need like six of them lined up in a row if you want to do a pano or something, though.
I could just imagine people, doing photos of their kids and putting them on lampshades.
Yeah. I'm speaking in my room of horrors, which is my room full of
all the free gear you've scammed.
Yeah, I've got this six foot blanket, stitched blanket of me and my daughter.
Right.
Does that count as the kids' lampshade? Oh, quite amazing. But this is a fully stitched, woven blanket. Yeah,
wow.
It's 6 foot tall, and
who did that?
Some company in the US got it for nothing, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Wouldn't have paid for it.
What? So you supply the image, and then they knit you a blanket.
Yeah. Like $139 or something.
My God.
The Americans are all over that stuff like a rash.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, kitchen to kitchen, I think they call it.
Right.
They're very, very much into that. So that's what my mate James has been up to anyway, which I thought was rather odd.
Right. I like the ELI.
Oh, the Oso Eli.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us, what is it?
Well, I mean, you sent me the link. But
no, I thought I should give you something to say rather than rabbiting on the whole time.
This was another one of Glenn's discoveries from Kickstarter through the week. And I spent
the day on Kickstarter, people. It's just going through all the current stuff.
So it's the Electronic Leveling Intelligence. And it's essentially a hemispherical dome type thing with a...
No, it's a half circle.
Thank you.
It's like a half ball.
Yes. One could almost describe it as hemispherical. with a tripod mount on the top. But because this thing is electronic, it obviously uses some sort of like a spirit level inside it. And you can place it on any surface, no matter, what angle that surface is on. And, with your camera attached to the top of the thing, it will level the top plate so that your camera is perfectly, in line with the horizon, which I absolutely love the idea of.
So I was amazed by it when I saw it. I thought this is the classic example they're using, is they've put this thing on top of a fence post.
Yeah.
And it's automatically aligned itself to be perfectly straight, and away you start shooting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very clever.
Yeah. And for someone like me who is manic about straight horizons,
yeah,
I think it's a brilliant idea.
I loved it. And it's a New Zealand product.
Yeah.
And
as I was saying to Glenn before we started recording, in combination with, say, a GorillaPod, this thing would be just sensational, because you to take your GorillaPod with you, and then, if the only thing near you is a tree, you could wrap the GorillaPod around the, branch of the tree, and then, whack this thing on top and...
Or mount it and get it straight, and away you go.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So I was pretty impressed with that, I've got to say. It's one of the less mad things I came across.
Yeah, and he's a third of a way to his goal.
Yeah, so I hope that that's something that will come to fruition.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how this ability for just small people with an idea. Well, I'm not saying he's small. He might be 6'6", 500 pounds. An individual or a
couple
can come up with an idea and these days kind of hopefully bring it to reality,
Yeah.
It's incredibly, incredibly different world we live in.
Yeah,
and I love that because this stuff would never have stood a chance.
No,
realistically, it's never seen the light of air, light of day.
No.
So I'm rather impressed with that. And along a similar but totally different line.
Yeah.
I came across a thing called a Modo grip.
A Modo grip.
Modo grip, yeah. Which okay. basically, it turns your monopod into a camera dolly or a slider.
Sorry, turns your camera what?
Your monopod.
Oh, okay.
Into either like a camera slider or a dolly.
Okay, how?
So you can then, well, it's basically just like a little clamp that basically just clamps onto the leg of the monopod and it's got wheels on it.
Right.
And all of a sudden.
So it's a skateboard with a clamp on it.
Well, it's not. No, it's basically just some wheels with a clamp, and the actual bar is your monopod, and you mount your camera to that with a little, yeah, little normal clamp or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was incredibly clever use of existing gear, far better than putting a lampshade on.
Right. Was this on Kickstarter?
It was.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that I thought was once again a clever use of existing gear, and turning it into something, either into a camera slider or all this time-lapse stuff and all the video stuff people are doing with cameras these days, which is really quite astounding. They're coming up with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
all
right.
Sorts of ideas. So I was rather impressed with that one.
Yeah.
Rather impressed. One that sort of left me, this is one of the more odd things I came across, was color splash filters.
Okay.
Which are basically, as that implies, filters with splashes of color on them.
Right.
Because instead of using
Of having a solid colour across the whole filter,
yeah. Instead of putting a light leak onto your photo afterwards in say Lightroom or something, you can do it at the time you're shooting. But of course, it's there forever.
Okay.
So if you want to turn your D4S with your 85-1.4 lens into a Lomo looking thing. you put this filter on and you're pretty much part of the way there. Maybe rub some Vaseline across it before you put it on there to soften it down. And,
right.
But yes, that was a bit on the odd side, I have to say. And there's ones for both cameras and iPhones.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The other slightly, and I will say nuts one.
Yeah.
Was the Hasselnuts.
Oh, okay.
And I've sent you the link to
that. You sent me the link. I haven't had a chance to look at that one yet.
I haven't quite grasped the full concept. But it's basically, if you've got an old Hasselblad lying around that you haven't been using, well, these guys have come out with a back for your Hasselblad that you can mount your iPhone into it and take photos through your Hasselblad with your iPhone.
Right.
Of all the glaringly wonderful quality that your iPhone is, transformed that lovely Leica into a Lomo, basically.
You realise that that project did actually close 2 months ago, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I know some of these are closed, which means they're probably coming to fruition.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. These
but they got three times what they were chasing in funding.
Exactly. So crazy. That sucker's going to be on the market somewhere. That you can turn your wonderful old Hasselblad, instead of turning into a table lamp, you can turn it into like a Lomo camera. At four times the size and weight.
I just don't get why you would, pass your image through all the beautiful optics of your Hasselblad and then feed it through the crappy piece of plastic on the back of your iPhone.
Well, they don't call Hasselnuts for nothing. It's not Hassel Super Smart or Hassel G. We thought this was a good idea. This is Hasselnuts. Here's the thing. I actually bought something. Mm. I actually invested. Hard-earned, well, not that hard-earned, but you know what I mean, invested into a thing called ProDot.
Right.
And ProDot is a rubberized sticker that goes on your camera release button.
Right.
And it's textured, so it feels more comfortable. And here's the thing that got me. The big headline, it eliminates finger fatigue. Yep.
Say what?
It's my fingers are often fatigued after a photo shoot. It eliminates finger fatigue.
How?
Oh, bugger if I know, but it was such a good line. I had to confess just for the joke of it all, Because
right.
Now I want that on my camera. So why do you have that? Well, it eliminates finger fatigue. People will think, oh, this man's he's a maestro. Look at the stuff. Look at the levels he goes to make sure his photos are incredible, It eliminates finger fatigue. They come in black, red, or white. And Carl Hemmings will be glad to know I went the red one, so it stands out the most.
Right.
Because there's no point having these things and then they blend into your camera, for goodness sake. People will never ask about them.
That's right.
And it's supposed to make you have less blurry shots.
Right.
Because of the tactileness of the release pressure required. I'll tell you, I'm going to put these things to the test like you wouldn't believe. It would be fun. So it was $7.95 for a pack of two, plus about $6 shipping.
I think you got ripped off.
Oh, totally. But, you know, the stories I'm going to tell about this is worth every penny. I was rather impressed with that.
Now, what about the QB?
Yes, I love the QB.
That was one of the better ones out of the links you sent me.
So QB is in QUEBEE.
Yep.
It's basically a Bluetooth video camera that links to your iPhone, or you can have multiple of them.
Right.
And let's say you're doing a video podcast or any sort of video production, you can use your iPhone to be shooting one angle, and these two little cube, hence a QB, these cube video cameras at different angles to do second and third camera angles.
That's pretty
and
cool.
They all sync up together.
That's nice.
I think it's got some great potential for
absolutely
for small these little guys doing all sorts of weird and wacky stuff on the internet of the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd love to have some at workshops. You know, you can imagine some behind the scenes video footage going from multiple angles all together.
Definitely. It'd
be fantastic. So I was rather impressed with those as well. And they're like waterproof and shockproof. So you can take it down to like the beach and put it near the water and have a different camera angle than you'd probably put your iPhone to or whatever. So it's not traditional photography per se, but some interesting stuff nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're what, 10 days to go and they're halfway to their goal? So
yeah, so there's fingers crossed they'll get there. Yeah. Well, speaking of 10 days to go, not that it's related to Kickstarter stuff, but David Duchemin's Vision video workshop's on sale again for $50 instead of $80.
Oh, really?
So if anyone wants to shout themselves an early Christmas present,
nice.
I guarantee you. Or a non-money back guarantee. The best $50 you'll spend on photography ever.
Wow, big call.
Yeah,
mate. Given the number of times that you have brought this up, I'm thinking
other
there
than
must
the
be
Pro Dot. Which, you know, if you
is
like
a close second.
If you like I suffer from finger fatigue, yeah, do yourself a favor. Get out there and buy Pro Dot. Get it in red so you stand out. Yes. Pro Dot, the professional's choice.
My middle finger is having finger fatigue.
Yes, given the amount of times I've mentioned this video series,
there must be something in it.
I tell you, if I not trying to sound hard to phrase it in a way that sounds right, but if I can get this much out of it,
yep.
Imagine what you could get out of this. what I'm saying is there's a lot of content there for the money, and by content I don't mean wholesale massive ideas that's going to change a world, but little things that's going to shave the edges off the types of things you do and the way you see the world, and that's all good stuff. Yeah,
cool.
All about honing the vision, as we say, and just very impressed with it. So, and I've still only watched like 3 hours of it. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
out of 14.
Yeah, so I mean, wow. If imagine what the rest of it's going to be like. It could be all crap from here on in, but because it's like you start off with the good stuff, start off with the gems, and it all falls off to nothing, nothing towards the end. Yeah, at the end, he's probably advertising Pro Dots or something. Yes, I believe very strongly when I'm travelling around the world taking photos that finger fatigue's an issue we should be careful of. So in league with the Pro Dot company, I've managed to come out with my own personalised Pro Dot.
It's the signature series.
The Duchemin signature series Pro Dot. That's right. It's not just red, black or white. Mine's got the Canadian maple leaf in the middle of it. It's fantastic. And I think you should all have the Pro Dot 1000. That's what we're calling it. He talks about that for an hour. That's the last hour of the video. Because I'm sure if as much as he's travelled, he too would have finger fatigue.
Seriously.
Yeah. I can't wait for these suckers to arrive, dude. I should have got you some for Christmas. Damn. Save them postage too, probably. I came across this awesome thing from a company called Red Trap. They're doing this thing called Trigger Traps.
Right.
And they're like this little device that you connect to your camera. It can do like lightning. It can do like time lapse stuff. That was pretty cool too. I'll send you the link to that one.
Thank you.
That was pretty good. You should get. Here's an idea for next year, not because obviously this year's finishing. Maybe get the guy on that and talk to him about it.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
Maybe talk about the product rather than the company. I don't know. Just the novel concept. Now this other one's now it's not really well it's nothing to do with photography per se in any way shape or form for that matter but it was incredibly cool and I kind of like it. Have you ever heard of a Lucida? It's Lucida.
No,
that's an old fashioned artistic tool from like 100 odd years or so and older tool, and basically it's just a prism on a stick,
right?
And the budget is you put a piece of paper down on the table and this prism sort of over the top of the paper.
Yeah.
And then you look through it and the prism lets you see on the paper roughly what you're seeing out with your where your eye would normally be looking out to the scene. Let's say you're doing a portrait. You can kind of see the person's face on the paper. Not that obviously it's in the prism, it's not on the paper itself.
Right.
But it allows you to sketch around them or draw or paint. An actual representation of the person's face.
Wow.
And I thought, what a novel tool. So this company's come out with the Neo Lucida. That's another word of saying new.
Yes.
And it actually used to be called a camera Lucida, I think, back in the day.
Right.
But yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool little device again. And it's like, these people bringing back this art from another era and giving it a new life, which is pretty darn cool in itself as well.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if we've ever talked about a mate of mine in Santa Barbara who processes photos in coffee.
No, I don't know if we've actually mentioned that.
Yeah.
Heard of the technique.
Maybe if we remember, I've got the book. They run a store in Santa Barbara and they do photo walks with like Lomo cameras. Right. Then they come back to the store and they develop the photos in coffee.
Coffee shop out the front, photography shop out the back.
Yeah, absolutely. they're thinking, aren't they? But yeah, so that's an old art being given, brought back to life. Yeah. So I've just pulled up this Neo Lucida back up in Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Their goal was for $15,000. It's actually finished, but their goal was for $15,000.
Yeah.
They got $424,959.
Wow.
Just slightly over.
So that's like 30 times what they were chasing.
Yeah, just a little bit over the top. Yeah. Incredible. But things are cheap. Yeah, a $30 pledge, right?
Yep.
You got one of these Neo Lucida cameras.
Yeah, right.
For 30 bucks, including carrying pouch, stickers, drawing pencil, all the sort of stuff. So it's not an expensive tool. So if you are out there as a bit of an artiste, look up neolucida.com. I reckon I'd love to play with it. I'm going to have to invest. It's my birthday coming up next week. I'm going to have to invest in a birthday present.
Excellent.
Yeah. The kids would love to play with it, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So, that's another cool tool.
Cool.
And I came across a 3D printed camera. Which is kind of cool.
Oh, yes, I did see that through the week.
A pinhole camera, that was pretty darn cool. Some amazing just time-lapse dollies. Yeah, that are completely motorized and driven, and you can time it to move however you want, do whatever you want. Some of the stuff, and for like, $600 or $700 these things are going to sell for, which is astounding. That if you want to do these incredible time-lapse things that you see people doing, it's not that expensive to do, you know?
Yeah.
Rather impressed.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap up, we did get Richard Clark on Facebook posted something saying, wanting to see if Glyn has used his iPhone light meter attachment yet.
I have.
And your thoughts?
It doesn't fit on my 5S because I ordered it for my 4.
Ah, hate that.
I hate it when you upgrade a phone because you weren't planning to. But I did use it. It worked a treat. It matched up pretty much 100% accurate with my...
For us?
With my normal cameras meter.
Right. Okay.
So I'd meet her through the camera, then see what the iPhone said, and it was pretty close to spot on.
Yep.
So it worked a treat. I just need one. And the problem is, of course, now my 5S, I've got this whopping great big battery case for it, so it won't fit on that anymore either. So, you know, it kind of defeats the, you don't have to take your case off every time you want to use your iPhone, your meter. So, yeah, great tool. Just this tool can't use it. He also asked a question about smiling, I think.
Yes. Any word or phrase or tips for getting a natural smile in photos? Apparently getting the subject to say cheese doesn't cut it anymore.
Well, my normal line to when I'm shooting women's, women folk, is don't smile.
Right.
Please don't smile in my photos. I'm a married man. I'm not used to seeing women happy. And that always cracks up a natural smile.
Yeah, right.
But I think that's what you got to do. You got to have a joke. You got to have a line. You got to pull out a one-liner, or something that gives a natural reaction. My problem with smiles has always been, if you look at most of my portraits that I do, no one's smiling.
No.
Because smiling's a mask.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to capture you.
Unless they genuinely are laughing at the time.
Exactly. Unless I want to capture a natural, but I'd still personally prefer a non-smile.
Yep.
Because I think it's still so, I want to see a little bit more deeper into your character, not just your moment of levity.
Yep.
And as I find masks smiles to be a great mask for people who they really are.
Yeah.
It has to be jokes, Richard. You just got to, come up with little phrases, something that just tickles their fancy. Failing that, I saw a product on Kickstarter where you can mount your iPhone under your lens and run a stupid video or some little smart, funny little animated cartoon underneath the lens that makes them smile and you shoot then.
Oh, God.
And you think I'm kidding?
No, I don't.
All too sadly, you know. So that's another another way.
And Richard contributed to the never-ending stream of dad jokes as well.
He did too. With
what is taken before it is given.
And I said photo. My wife's engagement ring.
I liked that.
A photo, yes. What's taken before it's given. Exactly.
Anyway,
now I came across it. I got one last thing. I've got to do some more research on this. So remind me for next year. It was a guy who wanted to do a Kickstarter project and never got off. But he wanted to use the Earth,
right,
and the Moon, and the Sun as a pinhole camera during a total eclipse.
Right.
And I don't know how what came of it, because it was a 2011 ended project. I'm going to try and chase it so you can find some images and see what ever came of it. But he claims in his blurb that he's used pinhole cameras made out of bell peppers, baked bread, watermelons, and he's printed photographs on cheese with coffee, tea, nicotine, and mint leaves.
Right.
So, which again, it sort of takes you into that realm of playing, which is a lot of fun.
Yep.
One of the frustrating things about film shooting is that whole, God, I've got to go out and get the damn thing developed, or God, even worse, I've got to develop it myself.
Yeah.
If you're playing around with, you're having your morning coffee and you just sort of spill it on your negatives and it happens to develop, it's not a bad way about it, you know?
Absolutely.
So this guy's website, which I quickly looked at, but I couldn't seem to find any photos, is Cixa, CIXA.org. But he's from Stanford University in America, and it's interesting. It could be worthwhile having a bit of a look into a bit more.
Okay, I shall endeavour to remember to remind you to look up that next year.
Next year, and last thing, because I've got a bunch of things still on my list, dust donuts.
Excuse me?
Dust donuts. They're like these little O-rings that this guy's invented to go on the back of your lenses and before it goes onto your body to stop dust and moisture getting into your camera lenses.
Hey?
Yeah.
What? I don't get it.
Well, bugger it if I know. I just saw it. That'd be good to talk about for 2 minutes and keep on going. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
We can put them in the show notes. But they're incredibly thin O-rings, so it doesn't affect your... doesn't affect your connections and all, et cetera. And there's a whole range of lenses that they're compatible with.
Right.
And it basically just stops any moisture getting in between your lens and your dust getting between your lens and your camera.
Right.
Makes it that little bit more waterproof. Let's say you drop it in a puddle, it might have that little point whatever of a millimeter longer, millisecond longer. Yeah, that's the one. Before the water comes rushing in, who knows?
But, right.
It's up and out there. So
okay, I will check that one out. And again, it'll be in the show notes for anyone that wants to have a look at it.
And I've got an announcement to make.
Yeah.
For 2014.
Yeah.
I'm launching a new website here in Australia, where I'm selling a product that no one else in Australia that I know of is selling.
Right.
The website's at pro.com.au. eliminate finger fatigue now. I want to be the exclusive distributor of ProDots in Australia.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm thinking of selling several of them per year.
Mate, you'll be rolling in the cash.
Too funny. So, I should have reserved that website before. Oh, I've got till Sunday before it comes out.
That's right.
Good stuff. I'll jump on and reserve that website so people don't jump all over it, because they know it's a good idea.
That's it.
All these people are out there, they can't use their index finger. They're all going, now, finally, relief. Well, I guess we should wish everyone a happy Hanukkah, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy... Happy holidays, happy Festivus for the rest of us.
Happy, joy, joy.
All of the above. And as the three TV salesmen said, there's frankincense, there's gold. Oh, no, wait, there's myrrh.
Nice. Well, mate, you have a lovely break.
Thank you. And we can say Christmas. We're allowed to say Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I assume you're having some downtime over Absolutely. Christmas and New Year.
Don't do that. It's not good for my... I only work 2 days a week, dude. Right. Do you know what my day consisted of today?
No.
Took the kids to school, came home, had a nap, woke up with all the intent of watching some TV, but fell asleep again.
Lovely.
So, not the most taxing of lifestyles. I think I can survive without having too much of a break.
Excellent. Well, enjoy whatever you do over the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. May your Christmases be merry and bright.
That's it. And we'll be back probably second week of January.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have had the Pro Dot in full use by then, and give you a full product review.
Excellent.
I'm waiting for the tingling life to come back into my index finger and just have a whole new joy. You people are going to want this. This is going to be like Viagra for your finger, I can just tell you.
There's a mental image. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to say thank you to all the listeners who continue to be very supportive of the podcast.
We love each and every one of you, because we know you all personally.
So have a Merry Christmas and a safe and Happy New Year, and we will talk to you again in January.
Take care, everyone. Be safe.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.